Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. We've gotten lots of emails and letters from you, our viewer. So today we've decided to make this a total question and answer program. Mm-hmm. Pastor Brock, do you want to start us off
sure.
in prayer?
Sure. And everybody, let's just take a moment and let's pray. Father, before we begin, we pray your Holy Spirit would give us wisdom as we talk about some of these questions that people have. And Lord, bring us each closer to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, our first.
I'm sorry, before the first question, everybody, I got to ask you to pray about something. This program is coming to you from the hyper radical state of Minnesota. And I know people are seeing this program all over the country, but I need to ask you to pray for Minnesota. In our government now, we have total unrestricted abortion in Minnesota. If the baby survives the abortion, the doctor is not required to keep the child alive. We're a safe state for sex change operations on children. We've legalized recreational marijuana, but we have banned minors from getting help with unwanted same-sex attraction. And then, this just happened this week. The Minnesota Supreme Court just made their decision, women can go bare-breasted in public. Can you imagine going to the state fair now? I mean, Minnesota, you've got the left coast and you've got New York, etc., but in the middle of the country, you've got Minnesota and Illinois and now Colorado, and these states have gone crazy. So I would ask you to pray for America. We are in trouble. I had to get that off my chest. Mona, what's the first question?
All righty. If a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon comes to my door, what do I say?
Well, let's start with the Mormons, because they believe that our God that we worship, mm-hmm. He didn't used to be God. He became God on another planet. And if you're a good Mormon, you can become a God and someday get a planet to worship you. What? Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you do when they bring that to your door? And most of the time, they're not up front with what I just said. Well, we believe like you do sometimes. Well, you bring up Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Mm-hmm. That means God has always been God. He didn't start being God. Nobody created God. God has been there forever, and He will be here forever. How can that be? I don't know, but it's what the Bible teaches. God did not become God on another planet. He didn't start off as a Mormon man who attained godhood. He's always been God. That's what we say to Mormons. Mm-hmm. Jehovah's Witnesses who deny the deity of Christ, they deny that Jesus is God. They think the Trinity, one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they think that's of the devil because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Here's what I say when they're at my door. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The concept of the Trinity starts in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created, that's the Father, heavens and earth. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was moving over the face of the water. God said, let there be light. The Word of God is Jesus. And then you've got Jesus' last words on earth, according to Matthew, go baptize in the name singular of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, the word Trinity is not in there. The concept of the Trinity is. And then I would take them to John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2, that teach that Jesus is indeed God. Now, they've got answers for all of what I just said, but you still got to politely, humbly share that with them.
Okay.
There you go.
My son has told me that he is gay. He knows I don't approve of it, and now he has broken off all contact with me, and it breaks my heart. Do you have any advice?
Yeah, I've gotten a number of letters like that. And just a few things. I have same-sex attraction. That's been my struggle in life. But I don't go that route with the behavior because it's a sin. And I would say to her son, look, if you want to follow Christ, you cannot have sex with a man. It's just a sin. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, you could go to everybody listen to this, restoredhopenetwork.org. restoredhopenetwork.org. This is a Christian group that has support groups all over the country for people who struggle with same-sex attraction. So this, I would tell her, love your son, continue to love him, pray for him, but don't do what a lot of parents do. Don't compromise and say, well, if my son is doing it, it must be okay. No, you don't help your son by saying that. 1 Corinthians 6 says, homosexuals, fornicators, idolaters, they don't go to heaven if they don't repent. So have the proper balance between maintain the truth, don't compromise scriptures, but still love your child.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There you go.
Amen.
There you go. Yeah.
I was living in an apartment where I encountered a spirit of my sister Karen, which bothers me greatly. We didn't get along, and there was always tension between us. I also have felt this spiritual being in my apartment, but I couldn't see them.
All right. So, are there such things as ghosts? Is the ghost of her sister Karen haunting her house? I don't think so. I think they're spirits, unseen spirits, demons, mm-hmm. I believe are real. But I think when you die, you go to heaven or hell. You don't float around earth haunting your old sister. But demons are smart. I mean, they can masquerade as, you know, when you go to seances, which no one should do, and Uncle Joe comes up from the dead and gives you messengers. Some of that stuff can be kind of supernatural because demons have supernatural knowledge. Mm-hmm. Remember, when Jesus was on earth, the demoniacs knew who he was mm-hmm. when nobody else did. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus said, be quiet, you know. So stay away from seances, Ouija boards, tarot cards, astrology chart, all that demonic stuff, mm-hmm. is a lot of it's hooey, but some of it can have demonic power. So is this her sister floating around the apartment? No, I don't think so. Could be a demon, could be an evil spirit. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Are evil spirits and demons the same?
I believe they are.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus overturned tables in his father's house. What makes churches with gift and coffee shops in them any different?
Well, you got to be careful on this because when Jesus turned over the table of the money changers in the temple, what was going on is the money changers were ripping people off. Mm-hmm. And people would come with money and they'd charge these higher costs than they should have for the sheep to be sacrificed. And Jesus turned the tables. My Father's house shall be a house of prayer, and you've turned it into a den of robbers. Mm-hmm. So it was robbery that was going on. So some people write and they're concerned, my church now is serving coffee in the lobby, and isn't it a sin to be selling things in the lobby like that? Well, if they're charging $50 for a cup of coffee, maybe you turn over the table. But I don't think that's the same thing. I don't think it's a sin to have donuts mm-hmm. in the narthex that you pay $50 or $1 for. You know what? So I think it's a different thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus says that the unforgivable sin will never be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Does that mean that Jesus could potentially forgive something of sin in the age to come?
Yeah, I don't think it means that. I just simply think, and that's from Matthew 12, if you blaspheme the Spirit, if you call the Holy Spirit the devil, because that's what the Pharisees were doing, they were saying, yeah, Jesus does miracles, but he does them by the power of the devil. And Jesus says, you've committed the unforgivable sin. You've called the Holy Spirit, by whom I do these good works, the devil. Mm-hmm. So, and that won't be forgiven in this age or the next. I think that simply means it's an eternal sin. In fact, in another verse, Jesus says, they are guilty of an eternal sin. I think that's all that means. I don't think when you die, if you haven't turned to Christ, you don't get a second chance to come to Christ and have your sins forgiven. You have to do that this side of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a friend who says that Muslims, Jews, Buddhists will get a second chance to accept Christ on Judgment Day. I disagree with her. Your views?
Again, I'll say it again. Jesus had that parable when the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, and some of you will stand outside, you know, bang and let me in, and nope, too late. Mm-hmm. You've got the parable of the 10 virgins, and five of them were smart, five of them were dumb, and the bridegroom comes, Jesus, in the second coming, and those that weren't ready don't get in, and they're troubled they can't get in, mm-hmm. but they don't get in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think people get a second chance after they die. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any resources for someone who has a porn addiction?
Yeah, this is everywhere now. Mm-hmm. And I'll say it again. When I was a little boy, you had a copy of Playboy under the counter at the drugstore, and somebody had to ask for it to get it. Today, kids turn on their iPhone, and they don't have Playboy. They have hardcore pornography on their iPhone. And I'm going to say this to the parents. Block that. You can go to your kid's iPhone, go to the parental controls, what do they call it, screen time, and you can block pornography. If you haven't done that, you got to do it, because this generation has more pornography than ever in the history of the world. All right, so what if you're addicted now, because you've been doing this? A couple things you can do. You Google the words covenant eyes, and I put it on my iPhone. I've got it, and I've got an accountability partner who keeps me, you know, we pray for each other, etc. So I would put covenant eyes on your iPhone, on your computer, so that you block that stuff and you can't change it because your accountability partner has the password. So covenant eyes, Google that, then get an accountability partner. And a lot of your churches now have support groups for people who struggle with sexual sin. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another question from a viewer. Mm-hmm. When we're all in heaven, do we witness to people up there? I know that we do down here.
Yeah. Well, we're commanded to go ye therefore and make disciples. We don't have to make disciples in heaven because they're already saved. Mm-hmm. So you won't be evangelizing the lost in heaven, because the lost will be in hell and the saved will be in heaven.
Okay.
So there you go.
I wonder how God will judge some of my family and friends who are members of ELCA churches, and are my sister and brother-in-law an ELCA pastor who supported this issue. Will they be in heaven?
Yeah, she's talking about some of her relatives who are in the pro-gay, pro-abortion rights, all that. Will they be saved? Or I'll ask it this way. I won't name him, but I was in the ELCA for many years, so were you, before we joined the more biblical branch of the Lutheran Church. I'm thinking of my bishop, who was super liberal, who helped bring all the garbage into the ELCA. Mm-hmm. He was pro-abortion rights. He was pro-gay. Well, I see him in heaven. He said he believed in Christ. I'm just going to leave that one in God's hands, and I think she should too. I think we should warn people. But I think you can be saved and have wrong doctrine. Mm-hmm. How much wrong doctrine? Mm-hmm. Only the Lord knows, but I wouldn't want to be in this person's shoes on Judgment Day. Yeah.
I wouldn't either.
So that's the best I can do. Yeah.
Do people go to hell right away when they die, or do they wait till Judgment Day? If right away, what is the purpose of Judgment Day?
Well, Jesus told the parable of the rich man that right away went to hell. The poor man right away went to heaven. Mm-hmm. So I think when you die, your spirit goes to heaven or hell. But there's still going to be a Judgment Day coming for all of us, for the dead and the living. And what is the purpose of Judgment Day? Well, it's for believers, it's to determine rewards. Mm-hmm. We all get into heaven only by grace alone, only by what Christ did on the cross. But 1 Corinthians 3 does teach that the way you live your life does matter regarding what kind of rewards you have. Mm-hmm. So that's one reason for Judgment Day. What about the damned? I think the Judgment Day will be there to show you deserve what you get. Mm-hmm. And then people go to be where they are for all eternity again. Mm-hmm. That's the way I put it together. Yeah.
Okay. John 3:16 says believers will have eternal life, but Matthew 7:21 says only those that do God's will be saved. I'm confused.
I think the way to put it together is John 3:16, whoever believeth shall have eternal life and shall, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the most famous verse in the mm-hmm. Bible. And it's true. You believe in Christ, you're saved. You reject him, you're not. Mm-hmm. Well, then why does Jesus say in Matthew 7, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff? And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we're saved by our good works? It can't mean that, because the Bible teaches against the belief that you can save yourself by your good works. All right, so what does it mean? I think it means this. We're saved by God's grace. We're saved by grace alone through faith in Christ alone. So your good works don't save you. They are the result of your faith. Mm-hmm. Good works don't save you, but they're result. So if you're saved by grace alone, it'll change your life. And if your life hasn't changed at all because of Christ, you weren't saved by grace alone. I think that's the way you put those verses together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Saturday or Sunday the Sabbath? I try to listen to good sermons on both days.
All right. The Old Testament Jews were commanded to keep the Sabbath to make them distinct from the rest of the pagan nations. Are New Testament Christians commanded to worship on Saturday? No. In fact, a lot of the early Christians were slaves. They couldn't have taken Saturday off if they wanted to. And in the New Testament, it's more Romans 13, one of you holds one day above another, somebody else holds every day alike. Well, let each be, you know, do what they think is right. Paul doesn't say, you better worship on Saturday. Seventh-day Adventists are insistent that you have to work, take Saturday as your Sabbath, and you've received the mark of the beast if you take Sunday. What? That's not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's smart to take one day a week and worship the Lord and rest, and mm-hmm. you're recharging your batteries. And if you work every day and don't take time off to be with the Lord, you're messing yourself up. Mm-hmm. So it's a smart thing to do. Does it have to be Saturday? I don't think the New Testament teaches that. Paul would not have written Romans, maybe it's 14, not 13, Romans chapter 14, where he says, let everyone do what he thinks is right in his own heart. He wouldn't have said that if it had to be Saturday. Yeah.
Okay. Another question from a viewer. I have been divorced and remarried 3 times. I went and talked to our pastor and told him about all of this, and I felt like I was being judged by him. He was telling me that God doesn't like that I married 3 times and didn't take my vows seriously, and I have not been back to church since. Your thoughts?
If he did it in a snippy, snooty, judgmentalistic way, well, then he was wrong. Mm-hmm. But if she would have come to me, I would have told her lovingly, humbly, you know, Matthew chapter 18 says if you get divorced, you should stay single. Because if you get remarried, you're committing adultery. Paul, the apostle, writes the same thing. Read the entire seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians 7. Read 1 Corinthians 7. Read Matthew 18, where Paul says, oh, don't get divorced. But if you do, I mean, he's envisioning for the sake of your life sometimes, you got to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if you do, Paul says, stay single. Mm-hmm. So I would have told her the same thing. And I wrote her back and I said, you know, I think she's divorced 3 times now. I said, so stay single. God can use you. Read 1 Corinthians 7. Talks about how God can use single people even more. Mm-hmm. So just, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am a Christian and have been a policeman for years. One thing I can't seem to shake is my foul language. I want so badly to quit swearing and have asked God multiple times to fill me with his spirit and help me with this problem. Do you have any advice for me?
Yeah. This reminded me of a friend of mine who says, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And more than once, I've said, you know, that is taking the Lord's name in vain. You're not supposed to say, oh, my mm-hmm. God, mm-hmm. Unless you're praying and you mean it. and he still does it. Mm-hmm. And here's a Christian man, from what I can gather, just seems to be on fire for the Lord. But the one thing I can't whip mm-hmm. is my foul language. So what do I do? Mm-hmm. And what I said to him was, you get a prayer partner, an accountability partner. Somebody you meet with once a week. In person is best, but on the phone is okay. And once a week, he has checkup rights. And you do it for each other. And back to the pornography thing. You know, maybe he has a porn problem. You know, well, how'd you do this week? Mm-hmm. And you've got the swearing problem. Well, how'd you do this week? And mm-hmm. then you counsel each other and you pray for each other. Mm-hmm. So I encouraged him to get an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
Yeah.
Is it possible to love someone whom I don't like? My boss is a great source of negativity in my life. If he's not complaining or gossiping, he's seemingly unhappy. And my husband, whom I work with as well, has encouraged me to see past his negative qualities and learn who he is as a person. I have no desire to do that. I don't wish anything bad on my boss, but I do not like him. Is it a sin?
Well, I don't think we have to like everybody. We have to love everybody. Mm-hmm. So what I told her was, God commands us to love our enemies. So I would pray for her boss. I would try to be nice to the boss. Mm-hmm. Do I have to like him? I don't think I have to like him, but I have to love him, which means I want him to go to heaven, not mm-hmm. to hell, and I pray for his well-being. But do I have to like everybody? I don't think we do, Mona. Yeah.
It's hard to like everyone.
It is.
Do you believe that the actual body, blood of Jesus is present in the Eucharist? If so, how does it get there? Can any minister simply put Jesus there by his words? I guess that I'm really confused on this. I feel that this is a very issue in which separates Catholics from others. I really want to be saved. I hope that I am.
Well, let's separate the whole salvation issue. Your salvation does not hang on how you understand the Lord's Supper, because there are sincere Christians on both sides of the fence. So your salvation depends on Christ, what he did for you on the cross. That's where your salvation lies, not are you right about Holy Communion. So this is the first thing I want to say. Now, let's talk about the views. Catholics believe when the priest says, you know, the body of Christ broken for you, blood of Christ shed for you, that it is transformed into the very body and blood of Christ. It's not even bread and wine anymore. That's called transubstantiation. I'm a Lutheran. Lutherans believe when it's called con, means with. Trans means change. Consubstantiation means it's still bread and wine, but somehow in, with, and under the bread and wine, you get the very real presence of Christ in his body and blood. So it's similar to Catholic, but kind of different. A lot of Christians, more evangelicals, Presbyterians, and some, they believe in a spiritual or symbolic communion, that the bread and wine symbolize Christ's body and blood, but they're not really literally Christ's body and blood. So, and according to the Catholic Church, when I give Holy Communion to someone, they're not really getting Holy Communion because I'm not a Catholic priest. So only the Catholic Church can give Holy Communion. I don't see that scripturally at all. So those are the three views. I do believe, I'm a Lutheran, I do believe the Bible teaches it's bread and wine, and Jesus didn't say this symbolizes my body. He said this is my body. So I think communion is a lot more than symbolic. God does wonderful things when you take Holy Communion. So there you go, Mona.
Alrighty. I grew up Lutheran, but reading John 6, verse 54, I wonder, are the Catholics right about the Eucharist?
All right, let's read that. John chapter 6,
verse 54.
Verse 54, where Jesus says, no, John chapter 6, verse 45, I think.
Okay.
I typed that wrong. Well, anyway, he who eats my body and drinks my blood and abides in me will be saved. It's something like that. Well, remember Jesus said that before Holy Communion was ever instituted. I think it can mean a couple things. I can mean by faith we eat Christ's body and drink his blood. That is a symbolic thing. But then I do think there is an application to the Lord's Supper. It sure sounds like the Lord's Supper, even though it hadn't been given yet. So I do think that verse you could use to show that it's more than symbolic. But I think you can't use it to say it has to be a Catholic priest and it's not bread and wine anymore. Well, none of that's in Scripture. Some of the Eucharist, as Catholics call it, or Holy Communion, as Protestants call it, some of this is a mystery. How does the body and blood of Christ become the bread and wine? You know, how does all this work? Some of this we just got to say, the Lord knows, but take communion. Jesus said, do this as often as you drink it. So I think we're to take communion regularly.
I agree.
That's why when people don't go to church, you're missing out on having the real presence of Christ. Come on.
You know, we need that. We need that.
I love communion. Yeah.
Regarding Matthew 6, verse 9, when was, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever, added, and by whom?
Well, there's another difference. If you go to a Catholic church, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, period. You go to a Protestant church, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, amen. But then, in most Catholic churches now, they do add it. They do. I think they sing something in between the two. So what's going on here? Well, on this one, the Catholics are right. Because, let me just look at this here. The line in Matthew 6, 9, for the kingdom, power, and glory is forever and ever, amen. In the most ancient manuscripts, those words are not found. Early on in the Didache, which is a 1st or 2nd century document, it's in there. But in the oldest and best manuscripts, it's not in there. No, it's true. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory. But the most somehow that got added later, and we, you know, maybe it was part of a church liturgy early, and so they put it in. But the earliest manuscripts don't have it. I say it; it's true. But and the Catholics say it now too. But There you go.
So it's still okay to put that portion into it?
I think so. Okay. I don't want it in the scriptures, and that part of the verse is not in, it might be in a footnote saying it's an early edition, but it's not the original. Yeah.
All right, here's another question. Can you get to heaven if you are not baptized?
Well, baptism is required for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there can be an exception, the thief on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
There can be an exception. But overwhelmingly, when a person is saved in the New Testament, they get baptized. And I remember meeting a gal who seemed to be a Christian to me, but she refused to get baptized because he didn't think it was important.
Mm.
Jesus commands us, mm-hmm. Go ye therefore baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I would say that I would get baptized. God does wonderful things in baptism. Can God allow an exception? Yes. But don't rob yourself mm-hmm. of the wonderful blessings of Holy Communion. Peter says, rise and be baptized, washing away your sins.
Mm-hmm.
As many of us as have been baptized have put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, baptism now saves you.
Mm-hmm.
Not the removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience, etc. So don't, if you've never been baptized, get baptized. There you go.
Do you receive the Holy Spirit when you're baptized?
Well, that's in I think it's Acts chapter 2. Peter says, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So again, can God do it differently? He can, but mm-hmm. the way he's promised to do it is through baptism. So I'd get baptized.
Okay. Where can I buy the ESV Study Bible?
Yeah, somebody just asked that. And this is my ESV Study Bible. Really good study Bible with great notes on the bottom of each page to explain the hard verses. How do I get it? Well, you go to crossway.org, crossway.org, order the ESV Study Bible, and it's a wonderful Bible. Now, the scholars tend to be on the Baptist side. So now and then I'll run across a verse that I don't an explanation I don't quite agree with. But overwhelmingly, the ESV Study Bible, go to crossway.org.
All right.
Well, Mona, that's it for today. Everybody, thanks for joining us. If you want to watch this program or any of our programs for free at any time, you just go to pastorstudy.org and you can watch all of our TV shows. We're on the air nationally now, all over the country, because of you, our viewers. God has provided through you for us so we can expand our message. So pray for us. If the Lord nudges you to support us, you can do that at our website, or there'll be an address you can support us as well.
Yeah. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. Have a good week. See you next time on The Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.